Gypsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from, well, from glorious Clearwater, St. Petersburg area, and I'm saying St. Petersburg today because I have the former First Lady of St. Petersburg, and I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper the former First Lady of St. Petersburg, Florida. Doesn't that sound nice? First Lady? First Lady of St. Petersburg, Carrie Kreisman. Hi.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. It's so wonderful to talk to you.
And you as well. I'm happy to be here.
I was thinking about it, and I think I have shaken your hand a couple of times at different functions long time ago. You were in office from when to when?
My husband was in office for 22 years, first as a city council member in St. Petersburg, then as a state house rep for 6 years, and most recently as St. Petersburg's mayor for 2014 to 2022.
I was meeting people around 2014, 2015, and then I started the radio program, and after that, I'm so busy. This is so exciting because, first of all, I love just even saying First Lady, and knowing that you were the First Lady here in St. Petersburg is such a gorgeous place. If you're going to be a First Lady of any place, that, you know, that's pretty great.
Yeah, so we are lucky to call St. Pete home, and being a native, I've seen so many places through the years, and it's only gotten better, and no place we'd rather live in the state of Florida than right here in St. Pete.
The phone's cutting out a little bit.
Yes, hold on one sec.
I don't want to lose you.
Is that better?
Yes, that's better. Okay. That's better. Okay, because I want you to tell us your story. Carrie is on today to talk about her first book, Accidental First Lady on the Front Lines. It's nonfiction. But as I was reading this book, I kept thinking to myself, well, when is Carrie coming back? Because I know now that she has found the joy of writing, she's going to be writing a novel, right?
I don't know yet. I'm not sure.
I bet. I bet. Anybody who can write as well as you do. You know what I love about it? You take us right into your life, into your family, into your all of the different events that you took part in. And one of my favorite was that you talked about your little brother. I got a kick out of that. So you see, that's what a great writer does. Really makes you jump into that story. So you tell us about yourself, about, you start off the book telling, really, that you were a born writer, practically, because you wrote something at the age of 8, which is pretty impressive.
Well, sometimes I think you don't realize what direction your life is going to go in, and then when you look back on your life, you think, were there signs, or was I meant to be, you know, did I finally end up where I was supposed to be through a series of different paths to get me there? You know, we never envisioned political life when my husband and I first met. It wasn't like our first date or even before our marriage. He said, someday I want to be the mayor of St. Petersburg. It's just kind of like many of our lives. It ebbed and flowed, and we just took each challenge as it came and made decisions as they were presented to us and, you know, capitalized on opportunities if we felt it was a good move. And, you know, I never, he was far into his political career before I ever even thought about writing about my part of it and what it meant to be a political spouse. And so, you know, you just never know where life is going to take you. It's just been fun. And I'm happy that someone asked me about my stories and wanted to know more and that people are enjoying the book.
Well, as I said, you're an excellent writer, because when you wrote about your brother and you you mentioned that he was voted most humorous, the most humorous,
yeah.
And that's like, it's my younger brother would be voted the same thing. So I got a kick out of that. Much like you, I was, you know, more serious. And so when you are able to relate to your reader in this way, mm-hmm. you've got talent.
Well, thank you. And I wanted it to be that way. I mean, when you write nonfiction, you have to grapple with telling the truth. I mean, you know, if you don't want to tell the truth or tell your story, you write fiction, and that's both are wonderful. But you know, it was a balance between, you know, telling the truth and sharing as much of my life that I felt comfortable with, and being honest with whoever was going to read this, and honest with myself.
Well,
that's the only way to do it.
I think you also give a nice insight into what life was like in St. Petersburg years ago.
Right.
But let's get back to that first thing that you wrote at the age of 8 that was published.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I don't know how long you've been in the area, but this area, St. Pete, used to have two newspapers, as I say, date in my book, the St. Petersburg Times, which is now the Tampa Bay Times, and then the Evening Independent. And, you know, you get that between 4 and 5 o'clock every afternoon on your doorstep if you were a subscriber. And back then, I think everybody was. So, yes, my great aunt, who we used to stay with on the weekends, challenged me to do this exercise. And I did. I wrote, and I, you know, as a kid, I forgot about it. And then next thing you know, she shows me, and I printed right there in the paper. And it was, you know, no more than a paragraph, but at the age of 8, to see something you wrote printed in your hometown paper was pretty cool. And somehow it survived all these years, you know, through different moves and, you know, even a house fire that miraculously some things were saved. But so, yeah, I still have that clipping.
And so what did you write that's so, it was like beshert, it was meant to be?
Yeah, well, at the time, this columnist, Jim Moorhead, and many people in the area will know him and remember him. He was very revered and just around for a long time. And so every Saturday, he posed a question that was like, and it was different. And so this question happened to be, if you could go anywhere in the world or on any trip or something like that, where would you want to go and why? So my aunt put the paper and pencil in front of me and asked me to think about that and decide what I wanted to say. And at that time, I had not yet been to Washington, D.C. I didn't realize that a year and a half later, I'd be going there for a family vacation. But at the time, I said I wanted to go to Washington, D.C. and shake hands with the president. So, you know, fast forward to 40 years later, possibly, you know, we've had that opportunity. And I never imagined that writing that at age 8, you know, I'd be shaking hands with you know, maybe a couple presidents.
Yeah.
I think I've met a couple. But it was really something. So it's fun to look back on that.
This book is really wonderful. I like the behind the scenes of particularly political things, because my first job was actually with a very famous person in politics who is still in Congress. At the age of 18, I got behind the scenes look, and since then I've been interested. And so
Wow. Tell
us, because we don't have that much time, Rick became the mayor of St. Petersburg. There had been a lot of buildup there. He's a lawyer, went to Stetson University here, which is, of course, a great law school. What was that day like for you to win that election?
Do you mean election day?
Yeah, election day.
Or election day. Well, you know, when you're in the throes of an election, and at that time that was his biggest election ever, you are just... you're getting to the end. You can't think past the end. And every day, it's the longest day. And election day, everyone will tell you, I think, if they're very close to a campaign, whether you're the candidate or you're part of the family or you're on the staff or a really invested volunteer, it is the longest day. It starts early at 7 a.m. We voted shortly after the polls opened, and it doesn't end till after the polls close. And you just move from moment to moment, and it moved at a snail's pace. So for me, you know, we went and voted, and I accompanied Rick to a coffee shop, and then, you know, I went home and cleaned the house. I mean, it was kind of methodical to do, because I didn't work that day. I just stayed home, and then, you know, went and got my son at school, and I don't think my daughter was driving, so I picked her up. But we just moved through the motions, and then we were told to be somewhere, you know, to check into a hotel at a certain time, and then to be at the party venue. And it was going to be a party regardless. It was either a victory party or a thank you party for everyone, depending on the outcome. And then it was just, you know, once we got there, and in this particular case, the polls showed and the early voting returns were back early enough to show that he had a big enough margin that no matter what happened on the turnout day, that he was going to win. So it was the mail-in voting that was back so early that they could determine. But yet they didn't tell him that or us because they didn't want my husband to let up on the gas and stop working hard, which he didn't. He never does. He works till the last possible moment. And so when we showed up, it was a quick congratulations and the champagne and just the, you know, hundreds of people. And it was a whirlwind. It was a really fun evening. We got maybe 2 to 3 hours of sleep, and he was up dressed in a suit by 7 a.m. the next morning, fielding interviews, and I was taking my kids to school just like any other day. And then I walked into work and, you know, to a decorated office with congratulations and all that. So it was really something. It was a whirlwind. It was exciting. It was, you know, lots of congratulatory text messages. It was the beginning of a new phase, one that lasted 8 years that we were privileged. He was privileged to have it and to be reelected a second time. And as a family and as his spouse, I was privileged to just be a part of all of this and you know, see the politics from that side and see aspects of our city and the people who live here and care so much about it. You know, it was really an education.
You were involved in that those 8 years. Many things happened here mm-hmm. in St. Petersburg.
Exactly.
What were some of the more dramatic things that happened during your term?
During his term?
Well, your term, too, because you're the first lady.
Well, the profile of St. Pete was raised tremendously. I mean, as he came in, St. Pete was on the cusp. I mean, the arts community and entrepreneurs and small business people had already been working and building and, you know, investing in St. Pete, and it was on the cusp of greatness. And so some of the most significant things that happened were descendant of small business or descendants and influx of small businesses that, and that's what made St. Pete unique. And it's not any one business or any one industry, but our arts were elevated to an even higher level. We've had anchors such as the Dolly Museum and the Museum of Fine Arts, but it was the local artists who, you know, who invested and went into the neighborhoods that people weren't in yet and put their studios and put their homes. And then, of course, my husband inherited and his administration inherited the decision that would be made on the St. Petersburg Pier. You know, that had been an issue for many years. And if you look at the history, it's always been a very personal topic for people. It's an emotional topic. But the infrastructure wasn't good, and something needed to be done to what was currently at that time the pier, and it had been shut down by the former mayor because of that, and so until a decision was made. So the pier was opened, the brand new St. Pete Pier was opened in 2020, and it was the culmination of work of so many people within the city and in the community that came together, and it's one of the jewels of the city because it's for everyone. It's not the only, but it is one place in the city that is accessible to anyone and everyone, regardless of whether you want to spend money, whether you can spend money, whether you have children and families or you don't, or you can go there and have a fine meal. You can go there and rollerblade and take your kids to the splash fountains or the playground and walk your dog. And it's a gathering spot. There's musicians, and that's just, you know, one of the greatest things that happen. You know, St. Pete also welcomed new museums, which I think, again, you know, arts is such a big economic driver in a community, and I think that helped attract people to come here and you know, some people who decided to stay. And I really just think the sense of community, St. Pete became a more welcoming and equitable community in terms of who calls it home. I mean, we are in the month of Pride Month right now, so I think it's appropriate to mention that. You know, my husband was one of the only politicians 20 years ago when St. Pete had its first Pride celebration to welcome that to the city, and he's continued to do that whether he was mayor or not, and he did it before he was mayor when he had his law office. He worked with businesses, you know, in the LGBTQ plus community, and so. But St. Pete, it has one of the largest Pride celebrations in the Southeast, if not the United States, and there's a reason for that. People feel comfortable here. They feel safe. They feel welcomed. And if you've ever been to our Pride celebration, it's not just people of the LGBTQ plus community who are there. It's people from all walks of life and persuasions and sexual orientations and families of different kinds. And it's a beautiful thing.
It is. Well, St. Petersburg is a very welcoming place in many ways. And a few years ago, we had BoucherCon, the big mystery convention here for mystery mm-hmm. authors at the Vinoy Hotel. This is such a gem of St. Petersburg mm-hmm. to go to the Vinoy Hotel.
Yeah, so historic as well.
Oh, it is. So wonderful. There are so many ups and downs. Of course, one of the things that happens here in Florida, and particularly our St. Petersburg, Clearwater area, we have hurricanes. So there's a lot of times where, you know, the mayor is really, he's facing a lot of problems.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was constant. And, you know, sometimes they were problems, sometimes they were challenges, but it was all part of the job. And when Hurricane Irma threatened in 2017, he was in the middle of his reelection campaign for mayor. And so all eyes were on him, not only in that facet, because we were expecting a Category 3 hurricane, which thankfully turned out to be a Category 1, but as far as a leader and how a leader gets his city or her city through
and prepared
event such as that.
Yeah, and he got everybody prepared, I tell you. Everybody was complimenting your husband for the preparation that went on in St. Petersburg. I know, because I remember
right.
that. For you, I know some people have talked about you having a political career. I don't know if you want to go that route, or perhaps you'll take the easier route and become a novelist. Obviously know how to write well.
Thank you.
With your family background, tell us quickly your family background, Scullies and a few things like that people will recognize.
Well, my mother's parents came here in the 50s or late 40s from Pittsburgh. And my grandfather had a restaurant. He owned restaurants his whole life. And on 8th Street and Central Avenue now in St. Pete, he owned Scully's Pittsburgher. And my mom and her sister were the only kids at that time who lived downtown. I mean, people would now think it's cool to live downtown, but for them, growing up, it was awkward. But they grew up in the restaurant business, and, you know, I think sometimes a somewhat unconventional childhood, that's, you know, maybe considered unconventional in some ways, turns out to be, you know, shape you throughout your life. And so, you know, she mentioned that when we used to have parades, we always had the Festival of States and the holiday parades, you know, all the kids came to their house because they had the best view living downtown. So they continued to own restaurants throughout, you know, my grandfather's life until he retired. And then, you know, growing up, my parents worked in that industry a little bit. You know, my mom worked as a dental assistant during the day, and my dad was building his pet products business as well. But on the weekends, to be able to afford to send us to Catholic school, they worked at the restaurant. And my dad was a musician, played several instruments, could play by ear. And my mom would wait tables. So, you know, that's what they did. And that's what had me at my great aunt's house on the weekend, writing to the newspaper about how I wanted to visit Washington, D.C. Because, you know, while they were working late nights, we stayed there on the weekends. And, you know, those are...
Well, you have a wealth of history to draw upon. So wherever you decide... This happens to people once they see their words on paper. That's what I always talk about. It's just a joy, right?
Yeah.
It is a joy. And
it
you're
is.
Giving
it's
people...
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And now, really, as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, oh, she could either start sort of a political thriller. She could go cozy mystery and make it a St. Petersburg, because she has so much information here about St. Petersburg. And we have a couple of fine writers here, like Carol J. Perry, who sets her books here. Somewhere along the line, or you could do political thrillers. You know, you've got it all sort of right there in your head, and now you just have to put it down on paper.
Right.
Okay.
You've given me some food for thought. You know, you might have sparked a new challenge for me.
Well, I want you back here in a year, because I think you're delightful.
That'd be awesome.
Your book,
Your
Accidental First Lady on the Front Lines is available online. Do you have a webpage or anything you want people to go to?
Sure, I have. It's carriekreisman.com, carriekreisman.com. I'm on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Instagram, carrie.kreisman.author, and then I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay, well, First Lady, I will call you First Lady, and you're going to be back here with your first novel. Let's give you a year, okay? How about that?
All right.
Okay, so get to work, because you've got the perfect name, Carrie Kreisman.
Oh.
If I was going to make up a name, I'd make up that name. So you're going to be back, okay?
Thank you, Patsy.
Okay, bye-bye now. Okay, I only have a few minutes to say bye to my audience. Oh, wow. Anyway, isn't that nice? First Lady of St. Petersburg, Florida. Anyway, I have to say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. He probably got nervous because I kept talking to her. But, you know, you can't just hang up on a first lady. Big Ed saluted me, and I saluted him because I should have been a general. I wish I was a general. Or I should have been a politician. I'm so stupid. I was shy when I was young, but I should have been a politician. I'd been great. Okay, everybody. Bye-bye now.